In Response, a legacy podcast is brought to you by greatnessatanycost.com and austrian-legacy.com. Hello everyone and welcome to the 15th episode of
In Response, a legacy podcast.
I'm Philipp Klein.
I am Daniel.
And I'm Peter Plank.
And we're talking about legacy.
Most of the time.
So yeah, guys, it's been a while. We are back again in our 3-week schedule. I hope you're all feeling good, feeling great. Peter, how are you today? How were your weeks?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm feeling great now. But the last few weeks were a little bit too, a lot exhausting, actually. I had, basically the last few weeks of my semester at university, so a lot of exams to do. It were, I think, 5 or even 6 exams last week. And yeah, now I have a little bit more free time, enjoying a little bit of time with my girlfriend. Side effect, my... My bed broke and I had to organize a new one. And while Corona, it's a little bit hard to get one, but yeah. So I had to build a bed yesterday, which I bought actually. And yeah, it's great now. And yeah, now I have a little bit more free time playing a little bit Pokemon 99, which we covered, I think, 2 weeks prior, 2 episodes prior. And yeah, enjoying my time. And looking forward to everything that's happening in the next few weeks, actually. How about you, Daniel?
Yeah, for me, it's kind of similar. I mean, my bed did fortunately not break up until this point.
Is it fortunately or unfortunately?
I don't know. I think you have to tell me.
We have kids in the podcast.
Yeah. not anymore now. for me, it's mostly just university stuff. Currently still working quite hard on my PhD thesis. There's happily for me, we can be in the labs and at university. Of course, are taking all precautions that we have to do. And I'm working on, I don't know if I mentioned this in a previous episode, but I'm working on a paper. And it seems, or it's coming together a little bit more. I have to do a little bit extra work, but over the course of the next weeks, I'm about to hand it basically to my supervisor, and then maybe we can publish it in the future. And yeah, besides that, I have we have lost one of our big colleagues from our university. Okay. He finished his thesis and he was one of the, we would call him the IT specialist of our institute. He would fix all the problems from all the people. So if you had one problem, you would go to this guy. It was very helpful and he basically knew his stuff very much. And he always had an answer to the problems. And the thing is now that... before he left, he handed over his tasks to myself and one of my other colleagues. So I have the burden now to help people out in some cases, running around with my laptop and going, because we have 3 different floors where our institute is located. So I have to run around everywhere and fix all the problems sometimes. I'm happy to do it if I can help, but it's a little bit of big footsteps to step into, if I can say it that way. That's basically what's going on myself. Oh yeah, and I actually started to learn Spanish. I don't know if you guys know the Duolingo app. I think you already you must have heard of this app.
I only know Bubble.
it's similar to Bubble, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about Bubble, but Duolingo is an app where you can study all different kinds of languages. And I just got my toes dipped into Spanish, and I wouldn't say I'm good at it, but I'm enjoying it so far.
Oh my god, you must be really bored at home.
you can analyze this. I'm not sure about this.
Yeah, I mean, a small fact about Spanish. I was in Peru one time after finishing my matura with my class, and there we had a small Spanish lesson, and we learned about the small things that we have to breakfast or something like that, and we were talking about basically butter, mm-hmm. or if we call it in Austria or Germany, it would be called butter, and it sounds fairly similar to the Spanish insultion to women, which would be puta.
There was
one Peruan guy in the back of us, and he just broke off with laughter because he heard the word butter.
Yeah,
I can just imagine you're in a bus, basically in nowhere, and you're talking about just some. I can't believe it's not butter or something. And the guy behind you is just bursting out in laughter.
Yeah,
I've got the picture in my head actually now, so that's kind of great.
Yeah, great times, awesome. Great times. Awesome. So, how was your few weeks, Philip?
Yeah, actually, I gotta say, they weren't really exciting. Just normal work stuff in my life. Nothing big happens. The only thing that did happen was that I went to the dark side because they had cookies. I played Ragdelver for the first time in my whole life, and I just won. I didn't play a lot or played any leagues because I don't think I'm a good enough of a blue player, in my opinion. I just don't think I can play a sequence, the brainstorms, the ponders, and when to counter what the right way. But it was kind of eye-opening how extremely well prepared this deck for anything is. You can just wiggle out of so many tight spots. It's just impressing, and that's I gotta say I played four four games or four matches in the practice room or on Modo. That's not a huge
sample size,
but it's kind of It was really strange.
You get a feeling about the deck that you just have the different feel of the strengths of the deck. I think that's what you mean.
Yeah, because I just know the way to play against it, but the way to play it was just really eye opening. And after my match versus Snow, where I won versus three escaped Uros, three times an escaped Uro. And the Hogak deck, which should also be a fairly hard matchup. I gotta say it wasn't the easiest, but I have never felt like I was so far behind, and I just felt dirty. It was.
So you had to take a shower afterwards.
Yeah. Like I tweeted that, and I really. I felt that the dirt crumbling up in my skin, and oh my god, this can't be right. This doesn't feel right. I gotta take a shower. It was really for me a really strange feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that I don't have to do this again. But the win rates are certainly
immensely
extraorbitant.
High.
It's totally different. And yeah, that's basically what has happened in my life at the moment, because I don't have that much time to play Modo. I would love to play in a Sunday Legacy Challenge or a Saturday Legacy Challenge, but that always conflicts with my schedule. With the time for my family or time with my girlfriend. And yeah, I would love to, but I gotta keep my priorities straight. And I do another or a lot of magic related stuff on the during the week. So MTGO has to take a step back here. And mm-hmm. Yeah, that's basically everything that happened. And I think with this we can start with our one episode this time.
Yeah, what do we have to give you guys for this episode? Is it already the questions of the...
Yeah, I think we will do a question questions? Fool.
A questionnaire.
A question fool.
One of the questions was asked by Manuel. He's one of our community members. He asked us about the Austrian Legacy Cup that we currently have still going on. He asked us how satisfied we are in general with the cup, and basically did the effort that we take paid off up until this point, and could we imagine redoing something similar or even the same thing again in the future? And yeah, basically, how do we as casters liked the, and also organizers, how did we like the cup so far? Yeah, what is our opinion on this question?
Yeah, so I start off quickly, and I would say, yeah, I think we together say that it for sure paid off. We are actually very satisfied with the event currently. We had basically not a singular issue there. And yeah, it went all basically smooth. The effort paid off. We got a huge, yeah, attention actually for us on Twitch. We got into Twitch, how is it called, the small thing,
the affiliate. Yeah.
We got affiliated on Twitch. We have a few subscriber now. It's all paid for itself. We can improve the stream with it, and yeah, I think it went all smooth sailing actually.
And I gotta say a shout out to the really cool guys that gave us raids. Was really great, and I think at some time we even cracked 90 viewers in our stream, and that's huge. Actually, for Paper Legacy via Discord, I think that's really huge.
Absolutely, I can also agree with these statements, and as you said, Philip, 90 viewers, it doesn't sound that big, but if you compare it to different streamers in the realm of Magic, if we talk about this niche format of Legacy, of a not really that popular game, if you compare to bigger streams that are generally available on Twitch, 90 viewers is very, very big, a big number. And of course, I think the average viewer count is about, I don't know, 20 to 30, something around.
The big streamers have maybe 50 to 70.
Yeah, and that's almost half of the viewers we have already. And we just managed to do that in a few weeks of casting our tournament. And I think, given that, the effort certainly paid off, also for me and my side. A little bit of work had to be done, and there were some complications at the start, I think. It was, I don't know about you guys, but I think streaming from the beginning on was at first very stressful. I even, after the first stream, I even had headache, honestly, because I mean, I had to handle the stream alongside with keeping an eye on the matches and commentating on them. I was really happy that you guys were there, that you can could entertain the viewers when I needed to switch things around in the stream as I operated the OBS sometimes. But I think this also changed and got better stream after stream as we got more used to it. And now it's, I wouldn't say easy, but it's, yeah, you just get used to it. And the stress kind of fell off a little bit. And it's much more easier now. And also based on that, and that aspect was very, very beneficial for myself, at least.
Yeah, and also we got, since the last time, a new overlay and the improved an improved stream experience with that. And I think it's really nice, and it looks so stunning. I think that there's some little points that can be improved, but it's just great where we have come to in this short time period. And if you like to check us out, it's twitch.tv/Austrian_legacy. The next stream will be on Friday, the 12th of February. That's the finals of the Austrian Legacy League Cup. And we are playing on 20 p.m. CET. So, and we start off with the game for the third place. And after that, there will be the finals. And yeah, check us out. It would be great to have you on. And I think with this, we're pretty much through with this question. The next question comes from Paul. He just basically has more questions in one. But he's asking us about the future of Legacy. So how do we think Legacy will change with the reserved with the now occurring reserved list spikes? Do we think that there will be a lot of players that they're moving their collection or quitting the game because of the price spikes and selling out? And how do we think will the entry with the new higher entry barrier will affect new players? So I gotta ask, I gotta want to pass the question to you, Daniel. What's your opinion on this?
Focusing now on the future of Legacy and general Magic, I think this is a very difficult question. But maybe even it's actually it's quite easy to answer. I think if we talk Magic in general, I honestly think the easiest answer to this is the future will be online and arena mostly. But that's my opinion. I think that's clearly what the company Wizards of the Coast is headed towards in the last few months and year and 2 years. But now focusing on Legacy, observe big spikes lately, and especially of course with reserved list cards in general, and the cards in general keep getting more expensive and more expensive, at least recently. And maybe you guys, since you followed it a little bit more closely, I don't actually know when these spikes started to happen. These recent spikes, at least, I just actually got to know it or realized that they were happening not a few weeks ago, actually. it was not that long ago for myself personally, but
Daniel, to answer this, they happened because of the stimulus checks or the promised stimulus checks in the US with the new president, I think.
Okay.
That's a little bit correlating, I think, with the price spikes.
So it's basically starting this year, somewhat around this year, or did it start already last year?
I think the prices were creeping since last December.
Okay, so
they were slowly heading up, and that's
Price spike was in the second week of January, I think, something like that.
Okay, so this is not that long ago, man. We have beginning of February right now. In my opinion, I'm not that a long time legacy player, but I experienced some ups and downs of prices. And we had this big reserve list buyout already in the past. I personally am more of a believer that this is more of a temporary thing. Honestly, I think the prices will go down again. But if someone would say to me that especially, of course, reserved list cards, that the prices are getting higher and higher, then I would in general agree. But I would only agree in that sense that it would have to be on a longer time frame. Like these short spikes here, they don't bother me that much, honestly. I think it is a matter of ups and downs. And yeah, the general trend is, of course, upwards. I think this is clear. And at some point, the amount that you have to buy for a given legacy deck will probably be very difficult to pay especially for new players, because at some point new players might have to ask themselves, do I want a new legacy deck or do I want a new car? And this is of course a ridiculous question to ask. And if we reach that point, then I'm really concerned for sure. But speaking of this recent spike right now, I personally am not that concerned. But I might be wrong. I'm not sure. This is my opinion.
I think we have a correlation to the Bitcoin worthness, or how do we call it?
Bitcoin is worth, spike,
basically the reserve discards are moving a little bit besides it. And whenever there is a big high with the Bitcoin, or in general crypto,
currency,
we have a cryptocurrencies, we have a big spike with reserve discards. It was, I think, in 2018 when the first big spike was in Europe. There was the Bitcoin, I think, at $25,000 or 25,000 euros even. There were the first underground sea where the dual land were at, I think, 500 euros, something like that, which was basically insane back in the time. And the underground seas moved back to 350 to 400 euros. And I think in this year earlier, it were basically down to 320 euros. And now, since December or something like that, it's creeped up a little bit to 350. And now we have the underground seas in Europe for okay copies of it between 450 and 500 euros, something like that. And it's basically
the same.
Really, really hard and insane. But I still think that the cards will move down in price a little bit downwards this year. But I think the general trend is still that it will increase and increase and increase.
Oh yeah, I really can't say anything more than you two guys. The only thing that I just wanted to say is I can understand everyone who is selling out now and during these price spikes out of this out of our format, because with basically no paper play now and in the foreseeable future, and these really huge chunks of money just lying in the closet and with no use, it gets very tempting to just sell it and pay some bills or do renovation or something, and do just things with the money that are better than lying around.
Yeah, basically a laying around legacy deck or the new car.
Yeah, like Daniel said, yeah. or not even the car, but I mean, I think there's so many things you could do with the money. But I'm pretty certain that paper play will come back. We can meet our friends, we can have the gathering again, and just like the whole finance guys always say, just hodl. and that's also the same that I'm doing. I don't currently buy anything. I'm so happy that I bought two tropical islands back in mid-December before the huge price spike. I got them for a steep price, but for a really okay price, and definitely less than they are now. Yep. So that's really cool. The only thing I gotta say is I should have bought more.
Yeah.
Because I also think that we haven't reached the peak yet, and then they will like you said, Peter, they will go a little bit down and then they will plateau, and then everything will happen again in the future.
Yeah. We will have a schedule for a few years where it does every time the same thing, but it's going up every time.
Yeah, and I don't want to go here into the reserved list subject. I think we already talked about it in one of our episodes, in one of our first, so you can go back and listen to this. I think our opinions haven't really changed. And yeah, with this, I think we're probably we had one more.
Yeah, one is the entry barrier for the format.
I totally missed this here. With the entry barrier, yeah, I think it's probably too steep for any new player, even for switching players from other formats. It's just too much to stomach. So with these insane price spikes and with these insane levels of a financial input into the format, we won't have any more growth for Legacy. So the growth has basically stopped. Although there are a lot of people out there who want to play Legacy, and also want to play in paper, and they play now on MTGO, and got really hooked. And I think we need in the future something where we can just work around here a little bit. I'm not sure what do we need here. Will it be bans or something? And we will talk about this next. And the entry barrier is just too steep.
Yeah, I mean, for me, if it were the prices that we have now, I wouldn't basically think about joining Legacy because the price would be way too high for me.
I agree also. I think a lot of players, as you said, Philip, want to play Legacy. The problem is that nobody realistically wants to pay 2,000 to 5,000 euros to try a new format. They don't know if they like it. They would try it, but it's simply, I mean, of course, there are communities where people can borrow cards, of course, but it is often not the case also. And if it isn't, why would you pay 5,000 euros just to try a format? This is also ridiculous.
Yeah, also borrowing cards has its own set of problems. Because with these huge price tags on the cards, I for myself, I would be very shy to borrow a deck from someone. I mean, what happens if it gets stolen? Yeah, I could never replace it.
Yeah,
as a new player, and I think that's really really dangerous for the format. These prices are so high, even if there are communities out there who can borrow their decks or borrow their cards to aspiring players. Because just the players aren't feeling good if they lend the decks or lend cards from the other players.
Yeah, I think that the discussion with who will replace the deck if it gets stolen or something like that, it's basically hard because, yeah, maybe you have to do something like, how's it called? That you have an insurance on the deck or something like that, but it's hard. Basically, if you're talking not about basically the cheapest Legacy deck, which would be something like Rainbow Depths for 500-600 euros, or we are only talking about Blue Red Delve or something like that, which costs you about 2,000 to 2,500 euros. But if we're talking about lands where you have a tabernacle, one or two drop of honey or something like that, and the deck costs you basically 6,000, 7,000 or 8,000 euros, how do you justify this borrowing out or something like that? Yeah. And we just don't want the new players to say, yeah, basically, how about you try this new format, but you are only allowed to play Death in Texas. I think this isn't the way to go.
Definitely not.
And yeah, with that, the entry barrier is getting really, really high now. And I think there would be a lot of players that want to try Legacy, want to go to an FNM, but they're basically missing the dual lands because the rest of the cards aren't that's hard to achieve or hard to get to. And yeah, unfortunately, money.
Oh, yeah. And there was a interesting idea I had seen on Twitter. I'm just pulling this up. You need to wait 2 seconds here.
I think we need the one from 90s MTG.
I think so. So yeah, I just 90s MTG on Twitter asked, with reserved lists spiking, will a ban of all reserved list cards from Legacy be good for the format? The thought behind this, assuming the status of the reserved list will not change, this could reduce the cost of entry and allow people to play. So, yeah, do you have anything to say about this?
Yeah, a few things.
Then it'll start.
Well, first of all, there is now no such thing as simply removing reserved list cards and call it a day. The format will simply change so much that at least a handful of other cards need to be banned because they are simply getting too strong under the new circumstances that we have based on the new card lists that are now legal in the format. And yeah, reserved list, of course, high price, yeah. Same topic as
always.
As always.
Same procedure as every year.
Yeah. but this is what Legacy is all about in some way, unfortunately. It is kind of unholy evil, holy evil. I don't know how would you call it.
It's basically the necessary evil.
The necessary evil. Thank you. Necessary. A necessary evil, and based on that, I don't think a format like that would be enjoyable. Honestly, I mean, I don't know if it looks if it would look like, because a lot of testing and evaluation, it would be almost like we had with Pioneer a few, I don't know how long it already exists, where they make a new format of already existing cards, and let's see what happens. And they are still not fixed the format now, and they have to ban new stuff again. And it kind of feels similar to me, honestly. And I don't like the idea at all.
Yeah, from my opinion, I think it would be when we call Modern the main format of the game. I think Pioneer would be Modern minus, and basically reserved list less Legacy would be something like Modern plus. But Philip put up a short list of cards that would be banned, something like that. Basically, we would have banned Duels, LED, Cradle, Helm of Obedience, Shallow Grave, Tabernacle, Mox Diamond, Alluan, Gilded Drake, Peacekeeper, City of Traitors, to name a few only. So
These were just the ones I could today write during work out of the top of my head, with the aforementioned decks. With this list, basically what I wanted to say is, because sometimes people think, reserved lists are just the duels, and not a lot of decks will get affected by it. So in this neat little list, Peter will tell you about the decks that would be affected, and there are a lot.
Yeah, basically, with the duels ban, it is basically a soft ban for days. Only one deck will remain. Only one Delver deck will remain. And this would be Death Shadow. With LED gone, basically every Storm variant of the format will die. Ledredge is now dead. Belch is dead. Painter's Servant, to some extent, will lose a lot of pressure. With Cradle, basically it's a huge loss to Maverick, and it could, but it won't kill elves, but it's a huge downgrade. With Helm gone, we got rid of the Rip Helm combo. Black Death takes a huge hit. With Shallow Grave, basically we destroy the archetype Tin Fins. With Tabernacle and Mox Diamond gone, Four Color Loam and lands will lose a lot of early game and sustainability against creature decks. So the decks would be basically dead, I would say. At least lands. Alluan is dead. With Gilded Drake and Peacekeeper, it's a huge loss to Esper Vile. And with City of Traitors, basically the whole Stompy archetype and Show and Tell will change.
And these are just the ones I knew. if you go over the whole reserved list, there are a lot more cards that would be affected because they played them. I mean, you've still got Chains of Mephistopheles. I know that that's a very expensive card. That's very niche and very fringe. But we've seen Phil Gallagher put up results with a Dead Guy A-list with Chains of Mephistopheles in the sideboard. Then you have also things like Cursed Scroll or basically almost everything in Pox. So yep. A fan favorite of the format will also die completely and
Basically I Lake of the Dead, just to name another one.
Yeah, also the mono black reanimator depths lists. Yeah, they would also lose Lake of the Dead. Interesting side note, like Daniel pointed out, black red reanimator loses almost nothing.
Except for Badlands, yeah.
Except for Badlands, yeah. It is a Badland anyway, so.
Yeah. And sometimes even play a Scrubland.
Yeah, but I mean, if we change now to no duels, you have to fetch for basically fetch for the basics now, because you can't just fetch two times for an untapped
Shockland,
because you are now at 14 life and you can't do Grizzlebrand twice. So it's also not a huge loss, but a loss for the deck.
I think it's just a totally different format, and the proposal here, just banning the reserved list, wouldn't put in no kind of circumstance fix Legacy. It would just be a completely different format, and it wouldn't be the Legacy we like and love anymore.
Yeah. What I would more like of a new format to try out would be something like, if there were some ideas floating around on Twitter, if we had the vintage equivalent to modern, so basically no ban list allowed, only restricted, and I would try this modern format actually. It sounds interesting.
Ah, okay. So you had a certain sets of cards, like in vintage fashion, that you can only play as a one-off.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Would be a really, really interesting approach to another shake-up, something like that.
How about we would do this for Legacy and the reserve list cards, if we make this experiment, if you think about it? I think for the duels, it mostly would, not really work, but could work.
I mean, it wouldn't press down the entry barrier too much, actually.
Not
because
really, yeah.
If you think about Snow or Snowker,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
you play one of each duel anyways, and what are the reserved list cards? I think none. For lands, I think it wouldn't change anything except for the 3 Mox Diamond that you aren't allowed to play now. So it's a lot more inconsistent.
Yeah.
It's basically Delver that would take the biggest loss, I think.
Also, the problem with a concept like this is that the value or the price of the deck just switches over to the other cards.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
That's what will happen if you restrict it in Legacy. And for sure the entry barrier with the duels or something wouldn't be that steep anymore, because you don't need 3 volcanic, 3 drops. But the other cards, like Force of Negation, will get even more sought of and more needed, and will get even more expensive then.
I agree, but the positive aspect would be that the shift would be towards those cards, but at least these are cards that can be reprinted. That's the would be the positive idea.
Yeah,
Peter mentioned, the Snoko deck pretty much would be untouched, and all the other decks pretty much would be problematic.
Take a huge loss.
Take a huge loss. In the current state of Legacy, it would be, I think, just a huge buff to Snoko and fuck everything else.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And that's the least thing we want, I think.
What I also just want to add here is that I don't like the nature of having so much one-offs in a format. I think it gets a little bit commander-esque. and you have this already with Vintage and Commander especially. And yeah, I just don't see the appeal in having free formats with restrictions where you can just play one-offs.
Yeah, I think it would be more interesting if we see the modern approach, but the legacy approach is interesting to talk about with restricting the reserved list cards, but I think it wouldn't make that much of a change cost-wise and play-wise. I think the play patterns wouldn't change. I mean, that's something that we want to preserve. The play patterns that we are used to when we started off Legacy is something that kept us in touch with the format. But yeah, I think we have to go on a little bit with the recent power creep 2019-2020. But yeah, I think we need something entirely different to change the entry barrier to the format. Because banning the reserved list isn't a good solution, I think, for the customer, we as the legacy players.
And yeah, with these words from Peter, I think we can wrap our episode up here. If you like what we are doing, you can find us on Twitter. It's @response_legacy. You can find me on Twitter. It's @finekmtg, PHINEKMTG. Also, take a look at our sister project, the Austrian Legacy League, on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/Austrian_legacy. And you, Daniel, how can we find you?
Yeah, as always, you can find me on Twitter. It is @FlyingDelver. And also, of course, on the Austrian Legacy Cup and Austrian Legacy League, commentating, playing there. Go watch us. And Peter, where we can find you?
You can find me on Twitter. It's @UnicornLord, but the O in the Lord is a zero. For sure, you find me too on the Austrian Legacy League, mostly commentating because, unfortunately, I'm too bad at playing the game. So, yeah, see me there.
And I think, yeah, this was it for this time. And with this, just got to say, tune in on the 12th of February to the Austrian Legacy League Cup Finals on 20 p.m. CET. And we are accustomed by the great White Faces, Callum Smith from the Everyday Eternal podcast. He will commentate with us on the finals. And yeah, I think with this, see us next time in 3 weeks.
In response, the end.